Distant Lover. The love story started in 1964 when I was 8. On this May afternoon, approximately 6 months after the assassination of John F. Kennedy and 3 months after the arrival of the Beatles to the United States, I was seated in front of the black and white television that sat atop Mama Ruth's Magnavox entertainment console. Louis McKay was seated next to me. When American Bandstand came on, we broke into smiles. Louis loved the opening act, Bobby Freeman singing Come On and Swim, an R&B novelty dance tune. He's cute, said Louis. Not as cute as Marvin, I said. My eyes fixed on the second performer, Marvin Gaye singing How Sweet It Is. He can't dance as good as Bobby, said Louis. I didn't bother to argue. At that moment, spoken words no longer mattered. My heart was speaking words that took me by surprise. I had an instant crush. Janice, Louis yelled, you look like you're going crazy. You look like you've lost your mind. I didn't hear Louis's screams. I was lost. Lost in my little girl love. I had a very rich imagination and was convinced that I would meet Marvin Gaye one day. I had all of his 45s and albums. I would study pictures of him. I would sing along, listening to him and Tammy Terrell on my phonograph, while imagining their romance. When I shared my love for Marvin, my friends told me I was crazy. I thought it was a crazy dream, too, but I still held on to it. I went to school with celebrities. I read stories about Elvis and Priscilla, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Myra. And I felt like if I ever met Marvin, maybe I could be his girlfriend or wife. After all, my mother told me that she dreamed of my father before she actually met him. I just knew it could happen to me, too. Dreaming of Marvin was a temporary escape from the foster home where I lived. Later, I'd learned that it was, in fact, an unlicensed operation that flew under the radar. Social services had no knowledge of its existence. The woman who ran the place, Ruth Williams, known to the children as Mama Ruth, answered to no one. Ruth was my primary caretaker from ages 14 months to 14 years. Ruth was both my guardian and tormentor. She renamed me Janice Williams, as though she were my biological mother. Because of my light complexion, freckled face, and curly locks, I was Ruth's golden child. The rambling two-story house built in the 20s and situated in central Los Angeles, just off Pico Boulevard, housed some 12 children, two of whom were the stepsons of jazz singer Billie Holiday, Craig and Louis McKay. Because my dad was Slim Gaylord, a famous jazz singer himself, I felt a special bond with the McKay boys. In her mink wrap and fabulous wide-brimmed chapeau, Miss Holiday came to the home only once. She was a lady of ultra-chic style and mysterious beauty. Slim was equally mysterious, a super-slick hipster who spoke his own brand of bebop lingo. He actually wrote an entire dictionary of a lexicon called Vout. Slim showed up no more than once a year to visit me, the 16th of his 17th children. He always called me sweetheart. 8 years later, Sweet 16 had come and gone. I was no longer Janice Williams. I had been reinvented as Janice Hunter, about to celebrate my 17th birthday. 3 years had passed since I had left Mama Ruth's home. Since then, I had done all I could to suppress the long nightmare of sexual abuse. My mother Barbara had taken me in. My mother's husband Earl Hunter had lovingly accepted me as his own child. Mom was a white woman of Irish and French descent with dark hair and blue eyes. Although her first two husbands had been white, she was attracted to black men like Slim and Earl, hyper-hip characters with street style and extravagant swag. I saw the remote Slim as father, but Earl, warm and loving and protective, as daddy. Ed Townsend, a music producer, was part of Mom's circle of hipsters. He was 43, close to Mom's age, but to me, he looked 63. He spoke about a hit song he'd written long ago, For Your Love, and was not shy about his success in the music business. But none of this talk interested me until I heard Ed speak the two words that caused my heart to flutter, Marvin Gaye. What about Marvin Gaye, I asked. I'm producing his new album, said Ed. Oh, sure, I said, laughing. I don't believe you. Ed's telling the truth, said Barbara. I still don't believe him. Would you believe me if I got Marvin Gaye to come over here to meet you and your mom? He asked. Maybe, said Mom. You could get him to come sing at the baby's 17th birthday party. I can do that, said Ed.